this evening. Thank you for coming. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Jody?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Is our high school rep here? Hi.
And our middle school rep up here, too.
Okay. It says it on here, so maybe.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yep. Okay. Big crowd, yeah. good evening. For those who don't know me, my name is Christian Lamantia, and I'm the Student Gov representative to the Board of Ed from JFK. Since our last meeting, students and staff have been busy with both fun and educationally enriching activities. And with February recess fast approaching, students are working to finish their last days strong. Visiting the University of Delaware, Towson University, University of Maryland, Goucher College, and Georgetown University from January 29th to January 31st, sophomores had their opportunity to start their college search with a visit to the premier universities of the Mid-Atlantic. In sports news, the POB varsity boys swimming and diving team recently ranked as one of the top five teams in the county, with two swimmers being recognized as state qualifiers. The girls basketball team recently set the school record for most wins in a season with their 14th victory after the February 1st game against Hicksville. On February 7th, high school students were greeted with a musical morning organized by the Tri-M Music Honor Society. The performances from two flutists and the B-sharps, an a cappella group, brought some much-needed pep to start the school day. And over 70 students involved in the a cappella and choir programs traveled to Adelphi University for the annual Sing Strong A Cappella Festival. In addition to enriching workshops on skills like beatbox and harmony, students also had the opportunity to compete in a cappella competition and watch professional a cappella groups from around the world. On a similar note, we hope you can make it to JFK High School's band concert this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Is our middle school rep here? Welcome.
Hi, Grandma's here.
Good evening. My name is Matt DeGraff. I am the school president of Matlin Middle School. In January, Matlin Map Groups learned about endangered animals and thought about ways they can make a difference. As part of this month's animal fundraising efforts, Map Groups created and submitted recipes for a Matlin cookbook. This cookbook will be sold to raise money for the fire department in Australia, who are working tirelessly to try and manage these fires. The Matlin No Place for Hate Club held their annual New Kids on the Block breakfast for students and faculty that were new to Matlin this school year. Matlin Student Council and Service Club will be hosting a fundraiser on February 28th to support Heidi's Helping Hands, a nonprofit organization helping families heal through rough times. The event will include gaga, games, food, raffles, and music. Matlin Middle School's new Gay Straight Alliance True Colors made Valentine's Day cards to be distributed to LGBTQ senior citizens on Long Island. They also had a visit from a guest speaker who graduated from POB schools. The 7th grade Matlin FAC students made meals and gift boxes for food insecure seniors in the Plainview area. Students went to the Mid-Island food pantry and filled orders for clients requesting food. Robotics teams 15261 and 15262 competed on February 2nd. Team 15261 won the Robot Design Strategy and Innovation Award. Team 15262 won the Project Research Award. The Environmental Club wrote letters to the Nassau County Veterans Home for Valentine's Day. We hatched 200 brook trout eggs and are learning and watching them grow for the remainder of the school year. PUBMS kicked off the new year with engaging and exciting events. During January 21st through 24th, Pride Club hosted its second No Name Calling Week. No Name Calling Week is 1 week in January devoted to ending name calling and bullying in kindergarten through 12th grade schools. It has been organized by GLSEN, or the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, This year's theme was Kindness in Action. Pride Club created a bulletin board filled with post-its and tearaway sheets, encouraging POBMS students to take what they need. Each post-it was designed with a personalized message of kindness from a Pride Club member. POB's first Literacy Week took place from January 27th to January 31st. Students engaged in various activities to that promote further interest and skills pertaining to read, writing, speaking, and listening. We thank the PTA, our reading and art teachers, and our library and technology staff for making this event a huge success. As we prepare for the February vacation, there are many engaging happenings at POBMS. Students enrolled in our music program are preparing for their MISMA auditions later in the spring. We are thrilled to see our students continue to move mountains in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. A lot of exciting things happening in our middle schools and high school, and of course in our elementary schools as well. Next, we'll go to board announcements. Okay. Ginger?
I attended, and so did some of my fellow board members, the POB Middle School production of The Addams Family, and it was just phenomenal. And I think that for all the students, the staff, and the parents, we just want to say a big thank you. And I do have a public service announcement. The primary, the Democratic primary, is going to be in April. Anybody wanting to change their party's registration in order to vote in the primary, it must be postmarked no later than February 14th. If you want to change, you can call the Board of Elections, and they'll send you out the proper registration for either party. Thank you.
Thank you. Jody?
Okay. I wasn't expecting quite a big audience for this, but here goes. It was just about 5 years ago that I stopped by the clerk's office to pick up a candidate packet to run for the BOE. Back then, I was living in a two-adult household, working a job that allowed me to telecommute full-time. Today, things are quite different. I'm a single mother with a far more demanding position that includes a 90-minute commute in each direction. And recently, I find myself pulled in far too many different directions. Being a BOE trustee is a major commitment. There are regular meetings, executive sessions that sometimes run well into the night, meetings with stakeholder groups, retreats, interviews, building tours, extensive weekly reading. It is extremely fulfilling work, but it is also very time-consuming, occasionally requiring us to be available during the day and often requiring us to be out of the house multiple nights in any given week. All of this was very manageable for me when I was working from home and could be there for my kids every morning and every afternoon. But now that my job keeps me out of the house 11 hours a day, I am truly struggling to juggle my board duties with the time my children need. Being a part of this board has been very important to me. My career is very important to me, but I am a mother first and foremost. So it is with great sadness that tonight I announce my resignation from my seat effective 30 days from today. The community deserves representatives who can give 100% to their roles and responsibilities, and given my change in circumstances, that is no longer possible for me without negatively impacting my children. While my heart wants to believe that I'm Superwoman and I can do it all, my head has come to the realization that I simply cannot. Serving our district has been some of the most rewarding work I've ever done, and I'm grateful to the community for putting their trust and faith in me for the past 5 years. Thank you.
Don't clap. We don't want her to leave. Obviously, we are really saddened by Jody's resignation, and we will have a lot more to say in a couple of meetings, which will be her last meeting. We will also let you know how we will fill the vacancy as soon as the board has had the opportunity to speak about it and make a decision. So I just want to hug Jody because we are really going to miss her, and our community is going to miss her, and certainly the children. Okay. Now we're going to go on to superintendent announcements.
I just want to add my appreciation to Jody for her years of service. We started out on the rocky road of opt-out. And I remember her standing outside as we were talking about the 3-8 assessments. And we wondered, oh, my God, what kind of a board member is she going to be? And I have to say she was a students and families board member. I mean, always your decision was about children and families. And I raise my hat to you, Jody,
thank you.
So I want to begin by, since I have the opportunity to have so many of my staff members here, to recognize a staff member who has made us all safer and has made such a tremendous difference to our world. So I happen to occasionally do building tours with the principals to see what's going on in classrooms. And I happen to be in a classroom at Matlin that has two exits. It's a very unique classroom because of where it was built. And so when you talk about a lockdown, you know, how do you lock down a room so that no one can have access, site access? And this staff member came up with a very, very unique way of protecting his classroom and protecting the rest of us. So what I saw in the classroom was something that looked like this, that covered the windows in the classroom. This is what it looked like. And basically, it's just a magnetic strip that he placed over the opening of the window, you know, open up the window, because all of our doors now have these tiny windows. And so I asked him for permission to use his idea to create this around the entire district. And so we created it. It looks like this, so that when it's placed over the door, in the case of a lockdown, that's, we are completely blocked out, but nicely blocked out. So it looks like the door. This is such a tremendous idea. Seems simple, but Rich Oliveri has changed the world for us. And so I want to recognize his and thank him for what he has done, because now... I don't know if he's here. I didn't know whether he was going to be here, but other districts have come and seen this in our schools, and they want it. So what a simple idea can change the world. And Rich, I don't know if you're here, but I want to thank you for doing that. And then another idea that has grown out of a simple idea from POB Middle School is the Sunflower Project. There was this one sunflower that was planted, and it bore seeds, and those seeds were reaped, and they were then sent all around our district, and sunflowers grew all over our district this summer. But they also grew at POB Middle School, and it's turned into a huge project. And these children have gathered all of the sunflower seeds and have sorted them and packaged them into this, what's called the Sunflower Project. And they are mailing this to every middle school in Nassau County with a packet of sunflowers, asking them to plant the sunflowers. And it has my quote in it, because because they had done that, when I was the president for New York State, I sent a packet of sunflower seeds to every single superintendent in the state of New York, and they sent me pictures of their sunflowers. And this, in another month, I will be presenting at a conference in Scottsdale, Arizona. And each person attending my workshop will be getting this packet of sunflower from POB Middle School. And it says, "Bloom gloriously where you have been blessed to be planted." So a little idea that came from Dorothy Drexel, who then to her children and to the teachers in POB Middle School has now bloomed all over state, all over Nassau County, and soon all over the nation. And that's the power of a good idea and a great teacher. So I thank you. I'm giving it back to Lauren. She sent it to the board.
Wait, how come?
Okay.
Oh, it's
the board did get it. Okay. But those little packets are going out to every school in Nassau County, and it's really a great idea. I want to thank Lori Min and her guidance counselors and teachers who took the kids on the college tour. It was a fantastic experience. The kids have come back, and it's just, I think this is our fifth year of doing it, and each year they choose a different area, and they go to wonderful colleges. This past weekend, the POB Middle School Drama Cadets did the Addams Family. Morticia and Gomez were...
Everybody was
amazing. Everybody was amazing. The sets were amazing. It was really a very good production. We had a little problem with the sound. I think we got it fixed by Saturday. I hope we got it fixed by Saturday because we did intervene. But it was a wonderful, wonderful production, and I want to thank you. And I just want to remind everyone the band concert, which is on the calendar for 7:30, is really going to be at 7 p.m. tomorrow, so that you want to change your calendar. And finally,
Wednesday.
I'm sorry. It's the right day, wrong time. 7 p.m., not 7:30. They have a 90-minute program, and they would like to get people home in time. So they're starting in a half hour earlier so that they can get more children performing. And finally, February 14th is Valentine's Day, so I send all my love to you all. I hope you are with someone who is wonderful. That was my announcements. Now I have to do some business. We have mission statements. I didn't know I was going to have that many people attending, but we do have missions. Could we put that up, please, the mission statement? I hope. Okay, great. So we have had a committee working on the mission statement. We are ready for everyone to give their feedback. So we have asked all groups to read it and just give us some feedback. The mission committee will be meeting on March 30th to finalize the statement of the committee. Ask for everyone. The faculty will be, all principals will be going over the mission statement with the faculty. We've asked almost every stakeholder. The senior citizens actually gave us some really good feedback. But we really want this mission statement to reflect the 21st century version of who we are, because we felt that the current statement has become a little bit passé in some of the words that are used. For example, the word tolerance was used, and we feel that we've moved away from tolerance to a more inclusive setting. So we would ask that everyone read and give their opinions on that. Coronavirus update, it's okay. The mission statement is on the website, and we'll just ask people to take a look at it and give some opinions on it, feedback. Coronavirus, I sent a letter out to the public having reviewed what was on the website for CDC, which stated that anyone entering the country from China needed to be observed for 14 days. Since I did not do observations, I sent the letter out saying that we would apply the CDC guidelines by not including folks who have just come in from China for 14 days. The State Ed Department, in conjunction with the Department of Health, have gotten together for New York, and they have said in no way can we exclude students, so therefore we are following the guidelines by the state. But we still have the obligation for monitoring. So if a student or anyone who has traveled from China, I would ask that you do self-monitoring, and if there are temperatures or there are lots of indications that are on the CDC website, that you keep us all healthy and safe. And finally, I am charged with establishing a testing and homework committee to clarify our philosophy on testing and homework. We have had many parents who have spoke spoken about the number, the frequency of testing, the inability to return tests in a timely manner so that one test will inform the next test. Our policy clearly states that you must inform students of the results of a test before another test is given. That's the board policy. So we are going to review the testing policy and the homework policy and develop a philosophy. We will need every stakeholder involved. So the PCT will be asked to send us five teachers, ASDA five teachers, five administrators. The parents have been asked to provide us with five, and we're going to ask for five students, three from the high school, one from each of the middle schools to represent the committee, so that we can finally develop a comprehensive policy on testing and homework that serves the learners' needs, not the adults' needs, but the learners' needs. So that's okay.
Well, thank you. Okay, now we're going to go on to middle school grading committee update.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're having a nice evening. So we haven't come to conclusion yet on a grading committee that began last year. Our large administrative team attended a spring conference at LIASCD where Dr. Tom Guskey spoke about some of the problems with the 0 to 100 grading scale. And our administrative team was pretty inspired after that, knowing we can do much better than what we're doing by our students. So at the leadership summit, Dr. Lewis brought this to the committee that was there and all the attendees. And one of the issues that arose were the problems related to grading and frequency of reporting, the accuracy of reporting. Does it really, the 0 to 100, does an 81 really tell a parent and a student in what areas the student needs more work? So we decided to use his seminal work, On Your Mark, and gave it out to committee members, gave it out to parents, portions of it to parents, and to the board, and some have read and marked it up and highlighted it and posted it. And we've used his formula for making some great reforms to our grading. This work began in the spring with a mixed group of administrators and teachers from fourth grade through eighth grade. And it was good that the work of Leader in Me was in place because one of the tenets of the Leader in Me is that you must go slow in order to go fast. And there is a tendency, and it is spoken about in his book, and there is a lot of research around it, that people get unhappy with grades or the grading system, and they just make a reform. Instead of really trying to look at the problem and really take in all the information from all the different stakeholder groups, that includes students. And we tend to policize everything. And what happens and what most of us see then is a policy with a lot of regulations that address the specific needs at that time when that policy was developed. And we call it in our circles whack-a-mole, where we try to add one regulation to fix one problem that's presented to us and then another one crops up. And when we spoke to some experts in the field, they said, you don't have a guiding philosophy for your grading and your grade reporting, so it will always feel like whack-a-mole. And if you get it right and you work slowly with teachers and students and parents in the community, you should be able to have a philosophy that makes everything related to grading an if-then statement. So if we're going to say something like grades should inform the next steps in instruction or the next steps a student should take, then a report card that says just an 81 in all areas doesn't really make sense. But a report card that gives us specifics about which area a student is struggling or excelling, then I know what I can do next in my classroom or what the student needs to do more of in the classroom. So we charged the committee not with coming up with a grading policy or regulation or a recommendation to the board about what a policy should be, but a grading philosophy. How best to judge a student's performance, how to communicate the results of student learning to parents and to students. We also asked everybody involved in this committee to become more knowledgeable about the issues around the 0 to 100 scale, but also about other grading options, other grading reporting options, and then ultimately to make a recommendation to the Board of Ed. typical with a lot of committees, people thought this is a done deal. You've already decided to go to this way of grading, and I hope the teachers in the audience tonight know that's not true, because our first meeting was in April and we still haven't changed anything, that we really have embarked on a thoughtful consideration of various grading options with a lot of different types of people. In March, the Leadership Summit gave the charge that we want to investigate our grading practices and our grade reporting system. In May and June, we developed a POB committee that consisted of teachers and administrators. In November and January, we added a parent component to that, so the PTA Curriculum Committee, along with other parents who wished to join the committee, came and engaged in work around that in the evening for parents who couldn't make it during the day, and then a very large group during the day. And upcoming in March, we will have a final meeting with the parents and bring our POB committee back together. And then the administration at the middle school level will get together, look at all the information gathered, all the possibilities, and make a recommendation to the Board of Education. Last year, there was a lot of talk about the transition into fifth grade, and we had a parent transition night where parents voiced a lot of concerns. And second to some of the curricular concerns was grading. It also became an online conversation for parents who couldn't attend that night. And there were many comments that showed parents wanted to talk about the grading system. It's not surprising. Parents whose first foray into fifth grade saw a very different report card than they were used to from the elementaries. And fifth grade is an elementary grade still. When we talk about team learning, both the teachers and administrators engaged in this activity, and we had the parents do it as well. They were given a set of grades, and they were asked to decide what their weighting system would be and to calculate a marking period average. What was astounding to me was it took teachers, and no insult teachers, but we use Infinite Campus, so it does it for us. Some teachers took over 20 minutes to calculate an average. You know, when you think about the different grading weightings and how to calculate this and what you're going to do with that zero that's in there, we had point spreads up to 17 points. So that's what we did with you last spring, brought the parents in January, and they engaged in the same exact activity. Administrators in the room, you'll be happy to know I appointed parents as department chair people. And they decided at each table what the grading policy would be. And you can see the grades at which they arrived. So this would be a report card based on the previous slide's grades in each of the different content areas. You see similar results, about a 17-point spread, if my math is correct, 78 to 9.
Same information.
These were the grades. Everybody got these grades. What I put in this upper corner was you're either an ELA teacher, a math teacher, science, or social studies. I'm glad some of the parents who were at this committee meeting are in the room, because one parent was fired as the ELA chairperson. It took them a half hour to come to consensus. I had to actually go over there and engage in some conflict resolution. But here were some of the typical struggles that came up. And anybody who's been a department chairperson in the room, this is a typical department meeting. What do you do with the zero? Do we drop the lowest grade? Do we allow makeups? What's more important, work habits or the final score? And then some teachers want to keep the zero to teach a lesson, to show the parent if he just did his homework, his average would have been. And some people were more compassionate. I'm the softy. I'm like, give away the farm. But the bigger thing that it points out here is, if you are a parent getting this report card, in which class do you think your child's excelling? And you would say science, but you're getting the same grades in science as you got in ELA. And if you are a parent, you know these are the grades you're regularly seeing, the big assessments. So if I'm looking at this as a parent, I'm thinking, I have no problem in any class. So I'd be very surprised if my social studies grades were all here, 95, 90, 85, 92, in all my major tests, and I only get a 78. We asked parents to watch a video about toxic grading practices and the damage a zero does. But please keep in mind, we're talking about 9 and 10-year-olds. These are fifth graders. We canvassed the community of the parents that wanted to be part of the grading committee, who may or may not have made it to the actual committee, because about 50 people wanted to be part of it, and we narrowed it down to about 40. But some reoccurring themes showed up. They wanted the report card to talk about progress, proficiencies, strengths, weaknesses, next steps, how to help their children. They wanted a report card that spoke to work ethic and habits of mind, comparability among different courses, and growth over time. And then we looked at the two report cards, the fourth grade report card and the fifth grade report card, and it seemed as if the fourth grade report card really reflected more of what the community wants to see in a report card, where this doesn't tell you too much.
Dr. O'Meara, the pleasure to have in class, I've heard more from parents about eliminating that comment.
Yes.
It is the most used comment, and they're insulted by that comment.
Yeah, and it's really sad, and I feel as if this system sets up a tenuous relationship between parents and teachers, because sometimes the pleasure in having class is a way a teacher wants to communicate. Even though he can't pass a math test, he's just such a delight, you know? It sometimes keeps my 17-year-old alive. But I hear you, but you understand, and, you know, I'm glad we have this large group, because it's not being received that way, and it goes back to what does our – if we had a philosophy of what we wanted our report card to communicate, I'm not interested if he's a pleasure. I want him to pass the math test, right? Or I want to know where I'm hiring or forcing him to go to remedial, or what can he do better in class to get that grade up. So, you know, this is why this conversation across all the stakeholder groups is really important. So according to the work that we're following in this process, in order for any successful change to be more than just a compliance exercise, but more of a philosophical shift and a paradigm shift where we don't have to regulate everything. People will operate out of a spirit of communicating progress, communicating proficiency, growth over time, habits of mind. We want to clarify that purpose of grading and reporting, and then we would move to align all our classroom and school policies and practices with that philosophy and ensure in the long run, once that's all set, that it's being followed. But this is fair to everybody involved in the process. This was such a great example of a report card. Thomas Guskey said, could you imagine if Maya Angelou was teaching your child English, or, you know, Einstein was your child's physics teacher, and what that report card may look like? But so that's where we're at right now. And when we bring everybody back together, the administrators will ultimately, being the experts, call all over that information and have a recommendation to you at the April 6th meeting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions? Susan?
Was it something I said?
Something I said?
So, Mary, I appreciate this and all the time that you and your committee, the staff, the parents, and all the time that you put into this. And I think it's great. And I also read On Your Mark, but I've also read the Dr. Ken Robinson book that we found in Philadelphia last year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I took away from Dr. Ken, I think the great companions to it is that lesson two in Sir Ken Robinson's book, is think of yourself as a gardener, because you can't force a plant to grow. You mm-hmm. can nourish a plant to grow, and the same thing. But my concern is with this committee right now convening. Dr. Lewis just charged with the board's direction to hold a grading committee for a district philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Not a grading.
I'm sorry, a philosophy on testing and homework, which I think comes before a grading committee. So I'm concerned that we're coming up with ideas about how to change report cards without having the philosophy first in place.
Sure.
So, and I think it's worthwhile conversation, and I applaud you for it and for everybody, and I know this is something we need to do and something I've brought up personally. But are we taking the horse before the cart is all my question is on this. Cart before the horse. I'm sorry.
Sure. So that's interesting, but in our field, we usually subscribe to the UBD, right? And we work backwards. So if you change the reporting system and the purpose of what we report, it would then have a natural impact on how you evaluate student learning and then how often that's necessary. So if we decide that we have a grading philosophy that says we want to report progress, testing every 3 days then goes against that philosophy.
Right, because but don't you have to have that philosophy first before you make that decision?
We need to have this philosophy, I believe, in place before we really make a philosophy about testing and homework, right? Because some of the issues around the testing and the homework, it's too much. You know the expression, we don't fatten a pig by putting them on a scale, right? So if we have a philosophy around...
I've heard that one. Yeah, I've heard that. Okay.
Oh. Jody, you've never heard that? That's like straight out of... That all came out of the
It's usually part of the opt-out. You're taller by measuring your height.
Right. No. So imagine if we have a district philosophy around the purpose of grades and how we report it, then that should inform how we test and how often we assign homework.
Right. So that's the philosophy we have to come up with, right? Isn't that what that the
but this already finished. So the grading philosophy
no,
will be
the... Wouldn't that be the charge, though,
okay,
with...
Okay. What I was kind of thinking is... This is amazing that we didn't even realize this, but this is amazing that you've done all of this work.
There's a huge...
I didn't mean just you.
You. Collective you. I'm sorry.
But maybe you continue to do your work, but then hold off on making a recommendation to the board until we begin this committee and see if... the philosophy that this committee comes up with is kind of meshed with the philosophy that you've come up with.
Plus also it'll be more global because this will be from the philosophy for what we're talking about is a district philosophy, which would include high school and elementary school.
But it still may be different. You know, each piece may be different, like you had said the last time, Seth.
So it seems to me that we're going to finish up our new mission statement, right? So that should probably be the first thing that we do because everything stems from the mission statement. Yeah. And then it seems like a little bit of the chicken and egg, which came first chicken and egg type thing. I view this charge, my recollection of the charge was really pretty narrowly and narrowly focused to middle school, predominantly the fifth and sixth graders who are in elementary but in the middle school itself. And so I don't see a reason why we can't follow the path of seeing what the recommendation is and maybe even adopting it because it seems like the conversation about homework and testing and the philosophy is not going to happen overnight, right? We're going to have to put it together. It's going to take some time. And so
– and then it may be tweaked.
Maybe you tweak – you know, because I think to everyone's point, we want to look at the elementary school, the middle school, the high school. And so – you know, I don't see a reason why we can't look at what the recommendation is, see it, get the philosophy down, and then review. That doesn't mean we're going to change anything, right? I mean, we don't have to act on it right away, but perhaps maybe we do. I mean, like, to me, if you have kids in fifth grade, like I have a fifth grader right now, so if there is something to recommend, would we change it for sixth grade, or do we do it for the next incoming fifth graders? Like, is it transition? You know, I'm not asking for the feedback. I'm sure that there'll be feedback
about it.
You'll have feedback at the recommendation. But my point is, I don't necessarily see that it has to be connected. I think you can do the narrow scope here, and then have the committee reconvene and maybe expand it with other people from the high school and elementary schools, and discuss after we come up with the philosophy of the homework and grading. I don't know. I don't necessarily see that we have to wait for this.
I think you make a good point.
I just want to make sure that we're not spinning wheels. I don't want to, you know, everyone's time is very valuable and I respect everybody's input and time that, you know, like, you know, chicken, egg, cart, horse, whatever you want to talk about, if then. But, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and we're going for the same goal. Mm-hmm. And I don't want a quick Band-Aid and be like, oh, well, we discussed this in this committee. Yep. I don't want to get stuck in that little rut, which has happened in the past. You know, I'm just trying to think of forward thinking on that.
Well, I mean, they've been meeting now since, did you say April?
Yep.
So last it's clearly year. A yep. well-thought-out plan, and I think Seth made a good point that if, in fact, there need to be changes with that once we come up with a district-wide philosophy and whatever the next steps are, then the committee can be reconvened and make a different recommendation or, you know,
No, I just wanted to...
No, I appreciate that. One thing to really keep in mind is there's a lot of team learning that needs to go on around this, because what you don't want is, or are, uninformed people who just have a feeling about how much homework is appropriate. There's a lot of research on homework out there, and it's fair for everybody involved to be reading some of that research mm-hmm. and see the impact of it, negative and positive, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's a biggie. And then testing... It's been a long time, and it's a great time also to be having this conversation, because all of our standards are switching. So the evaluation of student work will change as the instruction will change up against the new standards. So it seems like all over the place, but I think if, like to your point, Seth, once the mission statement's clear, our profile of a graduate's clear, you really want a comprehensive system that speaks to each other, not in, like you're saying, these little silos. Like, we spoke about it at this committee, but you weren't there, so it doesn't make sense in this. But when you're operating out of an overarching philosophy, people can make decisions on their own without having...
Right. I think this is a bold statement, and this is a bold thing that the district's taking on. So, you know, Dr.
Lewis...
doing it together.
Can I just ask a question regarding the charge? And we were talking about the stakeholders for that overall. And yeah. we talked about
for the testing and homework.
Yes, the one where
right,
we're going.
20
right. And you said it would be five students, which is three high school, one middle school, one for both middle school. Mm-hmm. Are we doing that with teachers and administrators too? Are we finding that, like, we want representation
you ask the PCT, they provide the teachers. I would mm-hmm. ask that they, I'm not giving a formula, but that they represent all of the levels. Same thing for parents. When I spoke with the PTA, I asked them
if they would provide me with parents who are in two schools.
Okay. I just wanted to see if we're going to ask the students to be that, then would it follow
yes.
through and the other stakeholders?
When you ask the representative bodies, they generally give you people who they've selected, but I would ask that they be, in more than one building.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, teachers can't be in more than
one. No, but that the five collectively would be.
Right.
Lauren? It might be too early of a question, but I just want to throw it out there. So if we start with fifth and sixth, do we know how long we're going to kind of, I guess, digest those grades before we then go out and maybe go to seventh and eighth and then other grades?
And most people are leaning, Lauren, right now to fifth grade. Because
okay.
they would feel the least impact. The next year's fifth grade, okay. it would be such a shock to the parents. They're used to the fourth grade, like a performance-based or a standards-based system. And then let's see how that settles. Because there's a lot of professional development for teachers. ELA okay. teachers and social studies teachers in the new framework have been scoring against a rubric and doing performance-based assessments, science with labs, math somewhat, but it really requires a lot of professional development for teachers.
And I'm not suggesting to rush anything. I was
yeah.
just curious about if there was going to be like a time.
Yes.
Frame.
That's okay. And that's kind of the feeling of most groups.
Okay.
Kara? So I'm looking at this and just kind of to piggyback off both Susan and Seth, the charge here looks very, very limited in scope to me. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just to look at the way that we're reporting how students are doing
right.
in either class or on assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan's concern is that we're looking at it so much more broadly now in terms of what is our philosophy on all of these things. So I could see how you could talk about how you're going to report the things while all the assessment our whole philosophy on assessments in
mm-hmm.
general and why are we doing this and can be going on.
Report it, you have to first evaluate learning. So that's, even though it's not printed there, that's how teachers are evaluating the learning and then reporting it on a report card.
So this committee, were they involved in they weren't involved in how they're assessing the learning though, right? Just how it's being reported?
Well, if you go to a standards-based report card, then you have to evaluate learning on a standards-based rubric. So what you pick determines how you evaluate in the classroom.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't know if that's...
No, no, I think...
Okay.
Thank you.
Ginger? Yeah. As we go about coming to some kind of consensus on whatever. Sometimes report cards, and you think you use the example of an 81, what is an 81?
Yeah.
For some children, that's 100.
Yep.
And for that child who is 75 is the very best that they can do, and yet it shows on a report card of 75. There are many parents who don't understand that's the best your child is going to do. To me, report cards should never be punitive.
Right.
Report cards should be an expression of how your child did. And I know you don't like that line, you know, it was a pleasure having you in the class. But I'd rather have that checked off on mine and say that my kid's a really nice kid, struggling a little bit, than have that obnoxious kid who nobody wants in the class but gets the 100 and everybody knows about it and nobody understands what it's all about. I think that our philosophy, how we've done it, I've always said, I do what's right for kids. And for a child who has to face a report card of 70s and whatever else, they may go home to a home that's not very well received. And that sometimes when you have more than one child in the house and one is much brighter than the other, it's a comparison of it. When we talk about that kid who's doing okay, getting through school and everything else, will go on to college, will never be your AP scholar, but is going to put the heart and soul and work so hard to get that 80 or 85, I sometimes think report cards really don't show what a child is trying to do, and that it is very subjective. There are times that you can see a kid writes a paper. Why did the kid get a 70? Why didn't they, or a 65? Why didn't he get enough just to pass it? Because being that child who's gotten that zero, that child who gets a 64 and misses passing by one grade, you have to ask yourself, and especially when you see in the high school some of the grades and you really want to know, did that one point, couldn't you find that one point so a child passed instead of failed? And when a child fails, especially starting in the middle school, that's a hard thing for them to go through life with. So that's my concern with report cards. I wouldn't give them at all.
Yeah.
That's my personal thing.
And that's the consensus of the group, that every number has an emotional meaning to everybody differently. So even though for one student a 75 is, I rocked it, the parent, you're absolutely right. So
imagine going home with that parent.
But the 64 is stunning. Yep.
I want a report card for my child. So difference, you know, like I do.
Yeah.
Now, you know, how you report it, what's the purpose of the grading? I think this is a good conversation to have. I know we just got the book for some of us on the board, but I read that. I walked in pretty rigid, and by the end of the book, which is not that long, I was like, this is amazing. It rips apart every grading system.
Yeah.
It, you know, it doesn't suggest, right? It says, okay, well, you want to go to you want to go to letters, you want to go to the minuses and the plus, you want to go to a 4-point scale, you want to go, and it really, it pulls
makes
it apart. It makes you think
every,
about it.
Yeah.
And the short answer is there is not one right answer. It's not going to be perfect for every child in every circumstance, right? And the whole idea is if we come up with the philosophy,
right?
That's hopefully with that philosophy and some...
You explaining my point.
Right. I mean, with the philosophy.
Short of words.
No, I'm saying, but with the philosophy and also over time, it would hopefully guide that there's some consistency, you know, among, in the disciplines, among educators.
Right.
I mean, I also, I would highly suggest looking at Creative Learning by Sir Ken Robinson. I mean.
He's wonderful.
We first heard him in Philadelphia.
We have those, yeah.
And. I mean, both of them are bold ideas, and it's just taking the concept of, you know, Sir Robinson says, you know, what is education right now? It's just teaching somebody to be obedient. Is it really, is it the creative, compliance and obedience, and not creativity? But this is philosophical questions, I know. But, you know, we have some parents, and I agree with them, you know, is it an assessment? Can you explain? Like, for me, it was like, if you can explain it, you understand it. If you can understand it and manipulate the concept, you know, you've learned it. But why does that have to be on a test? Why can't that be an oral? Why can't that be a project? Why can't that, you know, we've had those conversations. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think we will continue to. Tara?
I think as Seth's talking, that's kind of what Susan's point was, right? We're overhauling this system in the middle school, but at the same time, looking at our whole general philosophy, how are you, you know,
so
doing
that's
one?
That's what we're going to be doing, right.
Before the other.
I just want to respect everyone's time. It's short for everybody. We're all doing this as volunteers, and you guys, I mean, the central, yeah. So I just want, that was my point to the comment. Thank you.
I did just want to say something to Ginger's comment. When my kids were in school, yes, I wanted them to do well, but I also wanted them to be good people. So I kind of like that he's a pleasure to have in class. Mm-hmm. That's just me. That is the only comment, but okay.
Right. If that's the only comment you're getting from the teacher,
and
that's
not
discussion.
Good.
And the other information was late.
Specific feedback. Mm-hmm. Feedback on if it has to have some meaning attached to it. And if that's the only check off, if you have five teachers and five teachers check off pleasure to have in class.
And nothing else,
right. Which parents have gotten, that is
that's
not good.
Right.
And that's my point. There could be other statements that could say the same without, yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Thank you, Mary. It is.
You know what's wonderful is that the board is involved in an academic discussion and have taken, I have to commend you, for having taken the time to read the text of Guskey's. And if anyone wishing, we have some extra copies for loan, if anyone wishes to delve into the subject matter, it is a really, really good book, and we have a few copies that we could loan you to read.
I would
and
also
get
like
back.
To suggest that everybody on this committee that hasn't been formed yet should read it.
The
new one. Right, and it begins the discussion. That's great. Okay, we are going to go into public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and, two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking, if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district's website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of other speakers, the Board of Education, and all staff members. The floor is now open.
Hello? Oh, hi. Paula Barsky, 30 Cornell Drive, Plainview. I appreciate the discussion on the middle school grading committee, and I appreciate the fact that you had mentioned that some children can only get a 75, and that's the best that they can do. But when looking at the standards-based grading, there's children that can only get a 1, and can never get better than that throughout the years. So how does a child react to that when the best they can do is 1 and never get that 75 or 80 or whatever it is? So you have to consider that piece as well, because that can hurt a child's self-image as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, Nina Melzer, PCT. Just wanted to take a minute to thank Jody. I know it's not your last time, but to say that we have, I guess we're disappointed, but understand that it's a struggle. We all know that we do a lot of juggling to do the best that we can for our own kids and for the kids in the district, but we are saddened to learn that it's a decision that you have had to come to. So I'm sure that my colleagues will want to weigh in on the grading committees, the comments. We understand that there's a lot of different sides to how a parent gets those comments, how a teacher arrives at those comments, the time that it takes to do numerous amounts of comments. So I look forward to having a good conversation around that, and I know my colleagues will as well. And other than that, I know that you have some business to get to this evening, so we won't take up any more of your time.
Well, thank you.
I'll leave this for the next short person.
An extremely short person. Anyone else? Seeing no other speakers, public participation is now closed. We appreciate your input, and thank you. Now, can I get a motion on routine business? Susan?
Do I?
Well, first we have to have a motion, don't we?
Well, sorry? Then we have to make a motion. I have to make a motion to amend.
Okay.
So I would like to make a motion to amend the agenda tonight to add 7.17 to appoint Mr. Michael, I hope I say this right, Cesaro, as secondary assistant principal for a four-year probationary team and to start on or before March 10th of this year.
Second, Ginger, all those in favor of amending the agenda? Thank you. Well, why don't we vote on it first? Okay, so now can I have a motion for routine business, including the amended agenda? Ginger, second. Lauren, any questions, hold separations? All those in favor?
By action of the Board of Education this evening, you've appointed Mr. Michael Siestro as assistant principal of the POB JFK High School. Michael, welcome.
It may take us 4 years to get your name right.
And best of luck to you.
Welcome. We expect to hear great things about you. And now we're going to go on to new business. Can I have a motion on 11.1, approval of the Nassau County Board of Elections, MOA, Seth, second Tara. All those in favor? Can I have a motion on 11.2, non-local field trips? Lauren, second. Susan, all those in favor? Can I have a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of discussing collective bargaining negotiations and to obtain advice of district council? Tara, second. Seth? Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Nina, for voting. Good night. Drive home safely.